One of the problems with being an albino is the visual part of being seen. So when I was growing up and came to California as a tourist, like all good tourists, went to Disneyland. And there, as you know, they have people walking around dressed up like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, Goofy. There's a little boy, he's probably, you know, 2 or 3 years old, and he spots me in my white hair. And overwhelmed by his circumstance, he pulls on his daddy's sleeve and he says, "Daddy, is he real?" Despite what the little one might think, albinos, in fact, are real. We're not part of the set of going to Disneyland. Despite how movies describe us, we're not maniacal killers either, or superheroes with wonderful strength and power. In fact, we're just like you. You like going to the beach? We like going to the beach. Go and you lie out in the sun. We go and lie out on the sand. Of course, we do it at midnight, but it's almost the same thing. You like getting a suntan? We have moon tanning. Which is really very good. There's some advantages of going to the beach at night. See, if I go out in the daytime, I have to wear sun protection. I've got a hat that I wear. I've got glasses, these wraparound glasses. I wear a cowboy hat. I look like a cross between Garth Brooks, Darth Vader, and the Man from GLAAD. So you put on sun lotion, I can stay out for, you know, 30 or 40 seconds. But at night, there's really not much limit to how long you can stay out to worry about ultraviolet protection. I go at night because I can dress like this. Does that look nice today? Yeah? Yeah. So this, it's true. Because I have one of those bodies that looks good in clothes. Yeah. In fact, the more clothes I wear, the better I look. Yeah. One of the things I don't understand is prejudice based on skin color. People who are fighting over who has the darkest skin, particularly from my perspective as an albino, all of you are people of color. In fact, so am I. My color just doesn't happen to be tan. According to my daughter, when she was about 4 years old, she had one of these huge coloring sets. And she was drawing a picture of Daddy, and she wanted to figure out which would be the appropriate color. So she was going through, and she would hold up the crayon and look at me, and she would pull out the next one and do it. She discovered that I'm not white, and I'm not brown. I'm pretty much pink, somewhere between blushing pink and coral red, right in that range. The real difficulty of being an albino, however, is not the visual part of being seen, but the visual part of seeing, because albinos typically have lousy eyesight. I suppose it didn't come clear to me until I turned 16 and everybody else was driving, because at 16, all my friends were driving, and I wasn't. At 16, everybody else was independent and was going to different places, and they were able to control a bit more of their lives. And I felt frustrated and alone and felt like I had to rely on other people, and I don't know how to describe that feeling. Victimized is an overused word, but it may fit in this particular setting. Probably the saddest day of my life in that time frame was when my brother, who was older, got his first car. And that sunk into me as being the day that I realized that I was not only different, but odd. You have not probably known too many albinos. The odds of being an albino is like 1 out of 20,000 in the U.S. It's not a common experience. And yet you have experienced all of the hurts and pains and frustrations that I've talked about. You've had different events on which they are based, but the same emotions come about, the same feelings come about. The hurts and the pains that we experience are what draws us together. It's what we share as people. It's the part of being human. We all know how it is to hurt. And the same is true of the people that we're talking about in psychology. Now, you may have grown up in a family that is a lot like James. His father was tyrannical. Maybe you grew up in a family like Roger's, where he felt that he was not abused, but neglected by his family. Or you may have grown up in a family like Adler, where he felt inferior to his siblings. You probably weren't spoiled as a child, like Freud. And you may not have been a struggling underachiever like Wundt, but you understand the experience of growing up in a dysfunctional family. That's the only kind there is. It changes from time to time over the years and from situation to situation, but we all have challenges. Now, I have a physical challenge, a disability that I have to work with. Yours may not be as visible as mine, but you have the same challenges. That is, you encounter difficulties in your life and things that you have to do to achieve. The people that we're going to talk about in psychology are the same way. They have hopes and dreams and aspirations and fears and failures. They are a lot like us. Psychology is not really the study of theories. It's not the study of ideas. It's the study of humanness, of what makes us human and what draws us together as people. It's the central theme of what makes it important to study. Because if we look at them, we will understand a bit more about ourselves and what it was that they've experienced. So the story of psychology is not the history of individuals who are far away and different from us. But no matter what their culture, no matter what their background, no matter what experience they have, they're very much people. They know what it is, as you do, to be human. And that's the part that we have in common.